Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Last Christian. This is where the fun begins. Today, we're having another Bible study, and we're going to talk about something very interesting. That's Genesis chapter 1, as if you might have thought it was something different. Then specifically, we're going to talk about today some stars and things like that, because the conference is coming up as we're recording this. April 5th through the 8th, we're going to have that Hear the Watchmen conference in Dallas. So you can still go to hearthewatchmen.com and sign up for that. You can get the recordings that you can keep forever, or you can come out and see us. That's going to be great. And use the term last Christian to get $10 off. But as always, we always have Joel on the show, and he's going to ask all those questions that you wish you could ask. Hi, Joel.
Hey, David. I'm looking forward to it. I really appreciate you mentioning the fact that we will be at the conference, and hopefully we get to meet a lot of the people that have been listening to us. Feel free to stop by, check in with us. You are more than welcome. We'll give you some coffee and all kinds of good stuff. You know, and you can take
coffee,
away.
I'm in.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, David, I'm going to let you have it. For those of those that are waiting for answers or comments to your questions or comments, check back in with us on the next show. Should be able to squeeze a bunch of them in then. But right now, this is all about understanding the original text, our midweek Bible study, weekly comprehensive Bible study with Bible prophecy teacher and scholar, Mr. David Paxton. David, you are up, and it is all yours, sir.
All right. So let's just jump right into this. At the conference, I'll be talking about your contract that is written in the stars. So I wanted to lay this out a bit and then jump into the word. But before we do all that, let's just pray and ask the Lord for wisdom.
Amen.
So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your testimony that you have written down for us. We thank you for the contract you have given us and through the blood of Yeshua. We thank you for showing us what that means as we seek your face and we seek your knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So he's going to show us. It's going to be great.
Absolutely.
Now, did you ever wonder how people knew the Lord before Moses wrote all that stuff down?
Absolutely. Yes, I did.
Okay. So the Bible actually tells us, and I'm going to just share this with you, and then I'm going to prove it in the Word. But the Bible actually tells us that it was written in the stars. Mm. Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
So what we know today as, you know, astrology and all that stuff actually wasn't that way. It was called the Matzaroth in the Hebrew. And the Matzaroth is the same word for zodiac, and zodiac means the way. Mm. The problem is, like, the devil has twisted it and made it all about you, just like he does with everybody else.
That's what
Zodiac
killer is the first thing that came in my mind. Zodiac killer. Yeah, okay.
Zodiac killer. So, yes, the astrology that we have today is very pagan in nature, specifically because you think it's all about you. Yeah, I got to get up, and do I get out of the left side of the bed today or the right side of the bed today? Let me check my sign, which is retarded.
Right.
But originally, the story was written in the stars.
Okay.
And we see this in Job, and that's the oldest book in the Bible by all scholars' accounts. So way back in Job's time, in chapter 38, God's talking to him and he's like, oh, I get it, Job. You're so smart, right? Do you know the Pleiades, and do you know the line of the Matzaroth and how that's set up? Do you know how Orion's belt got there? So he's talking about all the stars and the signs that we see in the sky. And it was, his story was actually written in the stars. Mm. So we're going to talk about that at the conference, but let me jump into, Psalm 19. Okay. So I'm sure you people heard of the book of Psalms.
Yep.
19 is really cool. So check this out. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So just as a teaser for the conference, I'm going to really dig into actually each and every one of the constellations and how they point to Jesus and his redemption. Okay. But this is where he tells us that word declare is the word sephar.
Okay.
Now, the word sephar is the same word with its sefer. If you pronounce it differently, it means a book.
Okay.
So a sephar is like a scribe. We heard of the, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes.
Right.
And you've heard of Sephardic Jews?
No.
Okay. They were Sephardic Jews. Those were the ones that wrote everything down.
Okay.
And they followed the book.
Okay. Everything. I just always thought it was scribes. And, you know, that's
scribes. Yeah. The scribes are.
Yeah.
Okay. Sephardic.
Okay.
And that means literally they were of the book, whereas the Pharisees, they listened to the oral Torah. What did the fathers say? You know, what did our forefathers say? Mm-hmm. Well, who cares what they said? What did God write down?
Right.
That's really what it was. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, oh, you know, your traditions of men. That's what he's talking about, them and their, you know, oral Torah. He said, no, you got the stuff, I wrote it down for you.
Right.
So the sefer, so this is what it says in Psalm 19, the heavens sefar, the heavens literally inscribe it. The heavens are a book that was written down for all the world to see. And the thought goes that it was actually Adam, because, you know, he lived 900 years. He had time to write this stuff. Mm-hmm. He wrote it all down. Now, if you look at the stars and you say, oh, does that look like a lion? No, it doesn't look like a lion. It doesn't look like a crab. It doesn't look like fish. It doesn't look like all that. But the interesting part is every one of those tells a story by the names of the brightest stars in order. Starts with the brightest one, and then as it goes down in brightness, it tells a story about that particular constellation.
Wow.
All of them are the redemption. And we'll just, the teaser is this. I'll tell you about Virgo. So clearly it's a virgin. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now she has a branch in one hand and seeds in the other.
Okay.
So virgin is going to give birth to the branch. Remember? The branch of David. Right? And the seed. It's the seed of the woman. So it starts there and it tells the whole story of creation all the way through. And it's corroborated by every single civilization throughout history has the exact same figures in the constellations, which means they all had the same origin. Because you can't just, it's not like connect the dots and you connect them and you'll see a fish.
Right.
Won't. Okay, you connect the dots and who knows what you're going to get. But every single civilization has the same figures in there. They've twisted them. The strong man became Hercules. And we see, you know, Draco is the dragon. So you see all these different things, and we're really going to get into that at the conference. But I just wanted to share today that it starts right in the book of Genesis. So the heavens declare, literally describes and writes down the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So the word shows there means it explains. It says, so firmament explains the handiwork of God. God's, this is what he did and is doing.
Okay.
So it describes his glory. Now, let me ask you a question, Joel.
Okay.
Do you think the glory of God is the creation that we have? Or do you think the glory of God is the redemption plan that he has for us?
Well, I'm going to say the redemption plan would be that. That's what's important to me anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Because how many verses do we have on the creation? There's a couple here in the beginning.
Yeah. Genesis 1. And well, now there it's scattered throughout the Bible, you know, we kind of repeat, you know,
here and there.
Bits and pieces. But if you want just the creation story, Genesis is your go-to.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And how many passages do we have about the, you know, the stars being made?
One?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Genesis 1:14.
Yeah,
he made the stars too. And they're going to do this. So the redemption plan is literally in every single chapter of the Bible.
Amen.
So the heavens declare the glory of God. The glory of God is much more about his redemption. I mean, how much did it cost God to create the universe?
Yeah, well.
He's like, he spoke it. Oh, let's do this.
Yeah, yeah.
we could turn around tomorrow and do it again,
right,
which he's going to do at the end of the millennium. He's going to destroy all this. And,
right.
Hey, I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth.
New heavens and new earth, right, right.
Mm-hmm. It literally cost him speaking a few words, and then we rest and we have some fun. But what did the redemption cost him?
Well, Jesus Christ.
His only son.
Right.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
That's what the heavens are declaring. That's what the stars wrote down, literally says he wrote down and explains all of this handiwork. So we can't just throw out the astronomy with the, you know, because some people have misused it.
Right. Right.
All right.
And yeah, I always thought it was, just to stop you just for a second, I always thought it was evil, you know, and all this talk about the stars and stuff from, you know, and my basis on that is horoscope. I'm just, you know, I knew that was bad. I knew that was bad. And so that's the reason I stayed away from it.
Right. And it's the same old story, because what did he say in the beginning? Now, fruits are good. Okay. Mm-hmm. But don't eat that fruit. But
right.
What did Satan say? Oh, you'll be like God.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's the same story. He says, oh, I'm going to take God's story written in the sky and I'm going to make it about you.
Corrupt it. Yeah.
Correct. So that's where the paganism comes in, is making it all about you and what you're going to do and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Matter of fact, the Tower of Babel, you know, it says it will build a tower unto the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
And then people think it's a really tall tower and they're going to try and climb up and, you know, climb into heaven somehow.
That's what
run out of oxygen, number one.
That's what I thought they were trying to do. Yeah. In all honesty.
Yeah.
First reading.
It's not really what it says.
Right.
In the Hebrew, it says it will make a top like the heavenlies, which is interesting because on the top of it, you know, just like the pyramid is laid out by Orion's belt.
Mm.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, they specifically align with Orion's belt. So they did stuff like this. They built a tower with all the what we call the Montserrat on top of it, trying to claim that, okay, I'm going to take this. Nimrod's like, hey, I'm going to take this.
Oh, so okay.
Okay, and okay. He was in the face of God. So that just says he was a strong man. I forgot how it turns, but basically it means in the face of God. They began to seek God. That's not what it says. It began to go in the face of God. Oh, I'm going to take your signs into heaven.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh, yeah.
And that's what they did. So the top of the Tower of Babel actually had all the signs of the heavens on top of it. And that's what it means, be a tower like unto the heavens.
In other words, we're going to create a tower. We're going to create a tower where we can sit down and talk to God anytime we want to, not on his terms, but on our terms, is the way that I interpret that.
And to use all these things to try and magically produce stuff, you know, like Lucky Charms.
Okay.
They're magically delicious.
All right. I'm with you.
So, yeah. So when we actually parse out the word, you find all these things. You're like, why wasn't I informed of this? So here we are. And the term Matzoroth is basically, you know, the whole stars, and that's what Job is talking about too. But remember the word Tov is like a cross, right? It's the letter Tov, and it's like a mark on your forehead. Well, that's where they get the term Mazel Tov. You know that one, right?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Mazel Tov. Mm-hmm. Hey.
Yeah.
So Mazel refers to the... you know, the heavenlies and all the story written in the stars, the Matzoroth, and Tov is a cross on your forehead. It's the mark. Okay. So it says, may you be marked by God's plan. That's really what it is.
All right. All right.
And so Mazel Tov is literally a blessing saying, hey, may all the story of creation, you know, be a blessing in your life kind of a thing. You're marked.
Okay.
It's, you know, God, he said the chosen of God will have that mark on their forehead.
So that's completely different from the mark of the beast, by the way. I just want to throw that in there.
Yeah. 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 As a matter of fact, the mark of the beast is just a copy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a fake thing. Mm-hmm. Which says, oh, they got a mark. Let's get our own mark.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to be like.
More corruption.
So, yeah. So isn't that interesting? Mazel Tov. So Mazel Tov, Joel. It's going to be a great day.
Yeah.
Yep. May the signs mark your life. Yeah, so
thank you.
May the God's redemption plan be the mark of your life That's probably the best way to say it. That's what mazel tov is.
Amen.
I wish they would understand what that really means. Soon they will. They'll say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so that's the heavens declare. The heavens wrote this down and explained God's redemption plan that clearly says that. And then, you know, let's finish up Psalm 19. Day unto day, it uttereth speech. Okay, so, and that uttereth means to gush forth. Mm-hmm. It literally gushes forth all of this stuff that it's talking about in verse 1. Mm-hmm. And night unto night, it shows knowledge. And this is another one, was it's basically explaining the knowledge of God's plan of salvation.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at the New King James Version, mm-hmm. and in verse 2, day unto day utter speech, and mm-hmm. night unto night reveals knowledge. Exactly what you said. Yeah.
And that's what it is. And basically, the in verse 2, it's a different shows forth. That one is to live. It's Chava, and that's the name of Eve. Eve's name is Chava, and it means alive. It's literally night unto night, it's alive with knowledge.
Oh, gotcha.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. I like that. Okay.
So how do you translate that? That's how. It's alive with knowledge.
There you go.
It doesn't run good in an English sentence.
English is probably the worst translations possible.
Yeah, it is. That's why you really can't. All right, King James has expired.
Not really.
Okay, let's get back into the real inspired one. And the line has gone forth, and that's the ecliptic line. That's what they're talking about. There's an ecliptic line that goes all around. And he had set them in the tabernacle of his son. You love this part, verse 5, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And rejoices as a strong man to run a race. Have we heard all that?
Oh, boy. We're getting into Raptureville here.
Yeah. It shows that it's a bridegroom coming out of his chamber to get his bride.
Right.
It's written in the stars.
It's amazing how many times this comes up in the Bible that I overlooked every time I read it. It just really is. It's crazy.
Yeah. So praise God. We're learning now.
Yes, sir.
Imagine doing this for 40 some odd years and going, when they put that in there?
You still learn every day, too. I know that.
Every day.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's the glory of it. Matter of fact, honestly, JD, the more I learn, the more I realize how much I am ignorant of all this stuff. Because he's just so glorious and good to say, okay, that's this. But by the way, that's just a door to another dimension.
Right.
here's another university of study for you that you missed last time, because that little thing you learned today is just opening the door to peek in there.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yes, sir.
It's like, yeah, you don't know nothing. It's a good thing I got eternity.
Keep learning. Keep learning.
So, isn't that wild? Just in Psalm 19.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. Blows my mind. Yeah, and we only made it five verses into that, by the way. That's incredible. That's incredible. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, and there's nothing hid from it. Let's go into verse 6. It's going forth. It's from the end of the heaven and the circuit to the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. In other words, you know this. That jumps us right into Romans chapter 1. He says he explained everything in the heavens.
Yeah.
And if you don't know it, it's your own fault.
Right.
And if you deny it, you're a fool. A fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Yeah.
So if you're watching this and you think there's no God, and you're going to come on here and think, oh, that's funny, I'm going to make fun of these Christians because they believe in creation and not evolution, you're a fool.
Yep.
Wake up, because the day is coming where you will stand before the throne of God, and you can tell him right to your face, right to his face. Mm-hmm. You tell him yourself that there was evolution and that it doesn't exist, and we'll see how that goes for you.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be you in that situation.
highly recommend you change your opinion before you die.
I would prefer the Bema seat. Thank you very much.
Yes. Bema is the judgment seat that gives us our rewards, by the way, everybody.
That's right.
So that's a good one. All right, and that's in that's over in Romans chapter 1. God delivered them. It said they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served something created instead of the creator. Mm. Yeah. So that that's what happened with the evolutionists. So let's jump over. Let's get back into Genesis 1. Who moved it?
Somebody
moved
it.
I got so many tabs open.
I got it. What do you want me to read?
Well, yeah, it's 14. 114. It's not like it's hard to find. Okay. Oh, there it is. I found it. Thanks for pointing it out.
You bet.
All right. So, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. That's interesting.
Yes, it is.
Let's finish this up and then we'll come back to that.
Okay.
And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so.
Instantly.
Yep. Boom. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also.
There it is. Boom. Also. One thing, one sentence. There it is.
And he set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. Remember those shows? Go back and watch those.
Yeah.
And God saw that it was good. Mm-hmm. That was on the fourth day, which we know as Wednesday now. Which, you know, we'll get into this later too, but he made the plants on day three and he made the sun and the moon on day four. So there can't be thousands of years in each one of these days.
No, no way.
Just saying. All right. So, let's see, dig into this, signs. Okay. So the word signs there, what do you have in the New King James in verse 14?
Verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so.
All right, so it's not too much different.
Yeah, it's real, real close, David. Just reading it here, it's so close, I'm not going to spend any time on take away from you.
Okay. So let's go right into signs. The signs is the Hebrew word oath. And it's aleph, vav, and a th.
Better you than me.
Yeah. Okay. We pronounce, in the English, it would be O-W-T-H.
Okay.
and we know what an oath is.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's where we get our word from. It's a signal as a flag, beacon, monument, omen, prodigy, evidence, etc. Excuse me. A masculine noun meaning a sign, signal, mark, or miracle. Most often, it is used to describe awe-inspiring events.
Okay.
So, let's go back to that. Let them be for signs. That's what we see coming up. One of the signs is the eclipse that's coming up on April 8th.
Right.
Okay, which happen regularly around the planet. But when they happen over certain places in certain patterns, it becomes a sign.
Right.
Because
doesn't it have to be seen in Israel?
Yes, but if it happens over your land, then it means there's something going on with your land.
Oh, okay.
And not just an average, everyday kind of a sign. They're omens, you know, and that's probably the best word to translate it into, an omen of some awe-inspiring event coming.
Okay.
But when it's tied together, remember, it's a preponderance of signs that brings real evidence. Because we've been seeing signs for the last 40, 50 years of the end of the age, right?
Right.
Okay. But they were few and far between. I think we talked about this where I remember in the 80s, and I was like, oh man, this is great. I love talking about, you know, Revelation and the end of the age. Because I was saved in 1980. So all through the 80s, I'm looking for this stuff. I was saved through the book of Revelation, by the way. So that's all I looked for. And you would spend days and weeks and months sometimes looking for some kind of other sign.
Right. Yeah.
All right. And now here we are today. It's like you can't sling a dead cat without hitting a prophetic sign.
I'm telling you, it's all the time, every day. Yeah.
Yeah. We're just talking about the preponderance of earthquakes. We're talking about Israel every day. We're talking about all the stuff they're, you know, forcing on society and the whole Antichrist, yada, yada, yada with his New World Order. And every day in the news, we're hearing something else that pertains to the, you can't keep up with it. We just can't keep up with it.
Right.
So that's where the omens come in. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I really want to get into this, but we're like 2 minutes out from halftime.
Okay.
So why don't you share with people right now how they can be saved before these signs happen, and then we'll lead us into the second half.
Okay. Well, as always, I always like to make this point because, you know, there's an end to everything. I mean, you know, tell me something that didn't. Okay. And just like there's a last play in every football game, well, there's that last individual that will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior before the rapture of the church. Has to happen. Now, people can be saved after the rapture. I understand that. But if you're saved, that blink of an eye after the rapture of the church, that means you got to go through at least part of the great tribulation that follows. And that's 7 years of the worst time that the earth has ever seen and ever will see. But you can avoid all of that because you know there's a God. You know it in your heart. So all you've got to do is go to the Lord and say, Father, please forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose on the third day just like he said he would. I know he was seen by more than 500 people at the same time. I know he told his disciples in advance he was coming back for his church. And I know he sits at the right hand of God right now. He's waiting on that go order. Go get your church. And that's the rapture. It happens so fast. So fast that, well, I would say if you blink, you missed it. But even if you start to blink, you missed it. That's how fast it is.
Even thinking about blinking.
Right. So you can avoid all the problems by just accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Tell him that you do accept him and that you want to follow him all the remaining time that you have on this earth. And say that in Jesus' name. And if you are that last individual to accept Christ, you're going to be transformed in an instant. And really, the next face you see is going to be that of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that really matters anyway. David and I will be there along with every Christian living and dead, and hopefully with you. That's the purpose of this entire show, is to lead someone. One of you out there needs to hear this. And we pray that it's this show that does it. We'll be back right after a very short break with the second half of Last Christian. Hang in there with us. David continues.
There are calls for Pakistan's new government to ban forced conversions and repeal the country's notorious blasphemy laws. Concern is growing over the rise in persecution against Christians in Pakistan, often by vigilante mobs on unfounded accusations that Christians have committed blasphemy. Simmering violence came to a head last August when a Muslim mob attacked a Christian community in Jaranwala. They burnt church buildings and homes after a cry went out over mosque loudspeakers that torn pages of the Quran had been found in the Christian district. Thousands of protesters armed with sticks had to be restrained by the army. Months later, many Christians are still awaiting compensation. The Christian community in Jaranwala say the mob damaged 146 houses, while the government has paid out compensation to just 76. Although hundreds of people took part in the attacks, many filming it for social media with their faces clearly visible, most of those arrested have been granted bail. An appeal's been made to the Supreme Court for justice. A Pakistan organization which provides legal aid to victims say the police have made matters worse. They intimidated and humiliated the complainants and witnesses, deterring some from even identifying the suspects, they claim. There have been growing numbers of attacks against Christians in Pakistan as intolerance continues to rise. In February, six Muslim gunmen on motorcycles opened fire at two schoolboys, killing one who was just 14. They shouted, "No Christian in the area should be left alive." And in November, a 20-year-old Christian medical student was shot in his home. A gunman held the family hostage for nearly 40 minutes, claiming they were Jews. He refused to let the family tend their wounded son, who later died. In another attack, a Muslim cleric is accused of abducting two Christian brothers at gunpoint and beating them with iron rods to make them convert to Islam. He forced them to record a video statement saying they were converting of their own free will. Police later arrested the Muslim cleric. Release International is calling on Pakistan's new government to take immediate action to prevent forced conversions and to repeal the unjust blasphemy laws which are disproportionately used to target Christians.
Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, everybody. We are back. We are talking about the signs, seasons, days, and years. We got a little bit down a rabbit trail. That was fun, right, JD?
Yes, it was. I'm enjoying it. I've already learned more, as usual.
Okay. If you want to know what they were, just go back to the beginning of the show.
Right.
Okay. So,
well, also, I'm going to tell people go back and look at the whole series.
Yeah.
Follow that. Yeah, if you're just now getting here, start from the beginning. Go ahead, David.
Yeah. It'd be fun. Just make sure that you have lots of vitamins and water.
Right.
Okay. So we're here again. Genesis 1:14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. So we were looking at signs and oath. So it's a signal, an omen, evidence, prodigy. And I know we were talking about the omens as well, too. And we got into, what was it? Genesis 9, I think. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at another place that it's used, Genesis 9:12. Do you have that there?
I do. You want me to read it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's pull that up.
All right. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So what was the sign of the covenant? What is this whole passage talking about? I'll see if people know.
Let me see. I'm going to have to back up myself and see if I can figure it out. God's promise to Noah.
Yeah. What was that?
Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. What do you want? What do you want? I'm trying to figure it
read
out.
The next verse.
next verse. Okay. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth and every bird of the air.
Missed a couple of verses.
Well, yeah, I started. I'm gonna start at 13. Okay, let me drop back down here real quick.
9:12 and then verse 13.
Okay, 13 is, I set my rainbow, there it is, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant. Okay. I don't know how far you want me to go. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is good. He talks about the same thing, but it says, this is the sign. It's the same word that we saw in the beginning. This is the sign. Okay, the oath, if you would.
Okay.
Now, the rainbow is going to be, like the King James just says token, but it's an oath, it's an omen, it's this sign. In other words, here it is. Mm-hmm. So we see the rainbow, and who's stealing the rainbow these days? Okay? Satan tries to steal everything, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, LBGTQ, ABC, 2123. Yeah,
I know. Okay. I saw one of those flags at a church today. I'm like, there's a dichotomy for you. So check this out. Now we see this. Now he sets his bow in the cloud, and this should be a token of the covenant between me and the earth. So here's God's sign, his oath, his ensign. It's used that word as well. An ensign is hey, this is what represents us. So all of this is embodied in that Hebrew word oath. And this is a sign of a covenant.
Okay.
So he's got a contract between God and the earth that he's not going to flood it again.
Right.
Okay. So this is just another one. So we see the oath in the stars, And then he's like, okay, now I got to do another one. We're going to see this sign, this oath in the rainbow. Mm-hmm. And we see that. So this is really interesting in that is it the contract between the heavens and the earth. But if you read in Revelation, what is the first, the white horse when he comes out in Revelation 5? And you know, he's breaking the seals open and the white horse, right?
Yeah, I remember the white horse, but I don't remember what comes from that.
Okay, he had a bow.
Okay.
And over the years, people are like, oh, this is Jesus because he's on a white horse. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Who else would come on a white horse pretending to be Jesus?
Yeah, the Antichrist would mm-hmm. be my nominee.
And clearly in the company that he's in, it's not Jesus coming. So there's right. the Antichrist, and he comes with a bow. And people think, oh, well, where are the arrows? So he's always proclaiming peace because he's got a bow with no arrows, and that really doesn't make any sense. But if you look at the word, the actual first use of the word, if you look in the Septuagint, it's Greek, okay? And it's a Greek translation of this same word here.
Okay.
So when we look at bow in Revelation, it's the same thing here. And he's got the same promise, doesn't he? Let's take a look.
Okay. Where are we going?
Going to Revelation. It's near the end. All right. Revelation 6:2. And it says, and behold, I saw a white horse, and him that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Okay? So that's the white horse. So
I've lost you, David. You're in
Revelation 6:2.
I don't know why this thing went back to Genesis for me, but it did. Hold on 1 second here. Let me catch up with you because I want to follow along. And by the way, we encourage everybody to follow along. Okay.
Yep.
We really do. Okay. Revelation 6, did you say? And that is
yes. Chapter 6, verse 2.
Okay. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow. And a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So let's look at the picture. He had a bow, which is toxon, which is the same Greek word that's used in the Septuagint for God's promise of a rainbow. So here he has a white horse. He's pretending to be Christ, and he comes with a bow. All right. And people think it's a bow and arrow. No, it's a bow representing a promise. So he's coming with a promise of peace. Okay. And this crown, this particular crown is Stephanos, not a diadem. So it wasn't a ruling crown. It was a victory kind of a crown. Same word they use like in the Olympics. It would give you a crown if you won.
Yeah.
So a crown was given to him. So in other words, it was given to him to have victory over the earth. And he went forth conquering. That word is nikeo, and that means subdue, not really conquering like he's beating people up, but to subdue the earth. Whereas the next one is different. Worth conquering and to conquer, both of them are nikeo.
Okay.
All right, but it's conquering and to conquer, or subduing and to subdue. In other words, that was his goal, and he was going around subduing. To subdue and subduing.
I would interject here that the setup for that has already started worldwide.
It's a white horse. And it'll be given to him. In other words, he didn't earn it. It'll be given to him. The victory will just be hand. Here you go. You can go forth and you can subdue everybody with your promise.
Right.
So this is the white horse. He's a false Christ.
Right.
He comes with a promise, and people will just say, okay, here you go, and you can subdue everything, and that's what he did. He went forth subduing and to subdue. He put everybody under his power with this fake promise that he has.
And I'm going to interject one more time and say the church is gone. If you read, you look at Revelation chapter 6 there, look at it, and from then on, just keep reading and find church somewhere.
It's not there.
Okay.
It's not there. Go ahead, David. But that's a whole different picture than a lot of people will have. The white horse, oh, he's conquering, he's going to, you know, take over the world. No, read it in the original language. Okay. It's Nikeo. In other words, he's going to have rule over the people. Mm-hmm. All right. Not beat them up like we would think, and not with the bow. Oh, he's got a bow and arrow. He's going to go around and he's going to shoot people with his bow. And no, he doesn't have any arrows here. All right. The bow is toxon, which is the same word in the Septuagint for the God's promise. And he's riding a white horse. Okay. So it's a pseudo Christ making a fake promise and people will just let them take over. Yeah. This is what it is. Yeah. And that's what's going to happen. Then we're going to start to see with the red horse and all that. Mm-hmm. All right. But that's a whole another bag of chips. I just wanted to get that point across of the bow. So the rainbow is a sign from God.
Right. Right.
All right. And that's the same word that we see here. The stars are a sign and the rainbow is a sign, an omen.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So we also want to look at, this is cool too, in a different version of it, Exodus 31:13.
Okay, got it.
Okay, you want to read that?
Sure. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you.
Nice. So what is the sign here?
Let's see. The Sabbath is the sign to keep. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. So the Sabbath is this omen.
The holy day. Keep it.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. And for what purpose?
Well, to give glory to God would be my immediate answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
The same as Psalm 19, right? The same as, hey, this is what it says, that the heavens declare the glory. This is what it is, that you may know that I am the Lord and I sanctify you.
Yeah.
In other words, he sets us apart. This is this is a sign.
Yeah.
And that is the Sabbath.
Yeah. 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 Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I just want to touch on this too. I know there's a lot of Sabbatarians that would listen to us as well. Mm-hmm. And those that don't really follow it so much. Now, as Gentiles, we're not necessarily stuck to the Levitical law, but this goes back to the beginning, the Sabbath. And sometimes people say, oh, the Sabbath was moved to Sunday, and I don't really see it that way. Okay? And they say, oh, the church never moved it, and there's this big argument going back and forth.
Yeah, I'm confused on that one myself. I mean, I don't understand it. I never have.
Here's what really happened, and then you can figure out where it is, because this is a sign from God. He says, hey, you work 6 days and you rest on the seventh.
Right.
And that was right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's one of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments supersede the Levitical law.
Absolutely. Right.
Mm-hmm. And it even went back to Noah. And Noah, he knew which animals were clean and unclean. So where did he know? How do you know that? Okay. Well, it's because everything was written in the stars. So the Sabbath is still the seventh day.
Okay.
However, the church started to get together on the first day to celebrate the resurrection.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought, but I wasn't 100% on it. Okay.
But that does not make the first day the Sabbath.
Okay.
Okay? And that's where people kind of mix this up. Sunday is not the Sabbath. It's just not.
All right.
Okay.
Well, you're going to have to do some splaining to me on this one.
Sunday is a day for celebration. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And they would gather on the first day of the week to bring all their gifts together. He said, gather them. So, when I come on the first day of the week, and they would gather to break bread.
Okay.
So this is, it kind of morphed into the church service we have today. We do communion, except we got, little plastic chips and some grape juice.
Yeah.
That's not exactly what it was. It was, they got together, they had lamb stew, they would all drink from the cup, and they'd have a big celebration because it is a type of, we're going to do this because this is the dinner we're going to have with Jesus when he comes back. This in remembrance of me, and I won't drink again from this cup until I see you again when he comes to get his bride.
Right, right.
So we're supposed to do this, and every first day of the week, they would get together, they would break bread, they would have the drink the wine together and say, this is the covenant, because they would want to remind themselves week unto week unto week that mm-hmm. we have a blood covenant with Jesus. It's a new covenant. Love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are our rules now. Okay.
Let me ask you a question, and this is kind of an off-the-wall question, but I bet you some people have experienced it. I have been in churches where the Lord's Supper was held. I guess it's time for one. And then I have been in churches that had it every week. And then I have been in churches that had it every month or every quarter or every business meeting or whatever. Okay. I mean, everybody seems to have different rules. Is there a right and a wrong to that?
Well, Jesus said every time you get together.
So it should be every service then.
It should be every time you get together.
Okay. All right. Well, I've been in a lot of churches with a lot of different ways, you know, and I never fully understood it. And that's the reason.
Yeah, that's all churchiosity.
Okay.
But here's the deal. You're still supposed to rest on the seventh day.
Yeah. As my brother would call it churchianity. That's his word, churchianity instead of Christianity. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's still your rest on the seventh day. That doesn't preclude you from gathering on day one to go and celebrate. Let's learn something else. We'll celebrate the resurrection. We'll have something to eat. It's going to be a great day.
Yeah. Okay.
That doesn't make Sunday the Sabbath, but make sure you're keeping the Sabbath because you'll be blessed if you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's not a legalistic thing. Mm-hmm. It's not.
Okay.
But you want to honor the Lord because he did it.
Yeah.
So he said, this is the pattern for you. It's like, if he tells you to do something, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do it. Right. So that's what we do. We kind of rest on the seventh day and then we go to church and celebrate the resurrection on the first day.
Okay.
So that's kind of in the realm we're at, but that's what it was. It's a sign. It's an omen.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, he honors that because I get more done during the week now than I used to if I had to do all that stuff on Saturday. You know?
Yeah. You remember the old blue laws, or did you even have them in New York?
Oh, yeah. We had them in New Jersey when I was growing up. There was a couple of towns. There's actually still one county in New Jersey that still has it.
Really?
Yeah. Bergen County, I think.
For those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, they would close all the stores down on Sundays.
Yeah,
it's called the blue law, and the only thing that you could buy was food, basically. That's about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that was celebration day. They actually, again, going back to the Jewish communities here in New York, they're all closed. Mm. Saturday, forget it.
Yeah.
You know, you could. It's like riding down a ghost town in New York City.
Makes sense.
Everything's closed.
Yeah.
And not one of them on the street.
Mm-hmm.
they even shut off the parking meters on Saturday. They're like, okay, they're not going to move the cars and they're going to fight it. So that's pretty cool. All right, next, because we're moving on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get into seasons.
Okay.
Now, this is the big one here.
Okay.
Seasons for signs and for seasons. Mm. Okay. Seasons is moed. You've heard of that, right, JD?
What was that again? I'm sorry.
Moed. Seasons.
Yes.
Or moed.
Yes.
Moedim.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And basically, moed is an appointment. I'll read the Strong's definition. Appointment, a fixed time or season, specifically a festival, conventionally a year, by implication an assembly.
Okay
so it can be an assembly. It's an appointed time for you to assemble. Interesting.
Okay
that's why we see some of the translations that we have. The assembly. Technically the congregation, and by extension the place of meeting. So I could say, like, the church, we all know, everyone says the church isn't the building, the church is the body. Yeah, but by extension, we call this building the church because that's where the church meets.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same idea, the Moedim. It's an appointed time. So by extension, we call the Moedim is the place of meeting or the place of the congregation. I'm sure you've heard that term.
Right.
So technically it's that. So it's an appointed time too. So we see the stars mark out the appointed times for the assembling together.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, very.
But they translated it seasons.
Well, okay.
like winter and fall. No. Bad English. It's the appointed times. Mm-hmm. And we know the seven main ones, the seven main Sabbaths that we have. Okay. So let's look at some verses. We have Exodus 27:21. Remember that one?
Yes, sir. Got it right here.
That was fun and exciting.
Okay. This is in the tabernacle of meeting outside the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel.
Okay, so that was called the tent of meeting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But that's the same word that they translated seasons in Genesis 1:14.
Okay.
The old King James has a tabernacle of the congregation without the veil.
Mm-hmm. Now, that veil is very important, by the way.
Yep. That separates the outer courts, the inner mm-hmm. courts, and then into the Holy of Holies. It was a veil. And then when Jesus was crucified, the temple veil was torn in two. So now we can go in there meet with God one-on-one.
Yeah. And people make fun of that, David, you know, that it was, the veil being torn. They say, oh, well, that's, you know, whatever. That thing was thick. I mean, what was it like?
Thick and like, what was it, 30 feet high?
For it to be ripped in half, you know, at the
from
exact.
From the top.
Yeah. Yeah, from the top to the bottom when Jesus was crucified. I guess that was a really weird coincidence. Yeah.
And it was a three-hour eclipse.
Yeah. Explain that one. Yeah. Go ahead. I don't mean you. I mean the non-believers. Explain that one.
Well, I do have an explanation for that, but we don't have time right now.
Yeah, I know.
And it's clear. All of the events, it's mm-hmm. very clear what happened. Mm-hmm. But again, it ties right back to this, the signs and the seasons. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that on another show because it's really long to get into. But the nutshell is he orchestrated everything to do this at the exact time that Jesus was being crucified.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we'll talk about the orbits of Mars and some other astrological things that are floating around in space, which are stars that, you know, he put in there for specifically this, for signs and seasons and mm-hmm. appointments. Mm-hmm. Here we are with the appointments.
Yep.
Let's jump over to Daniel 11. We'll start in 27.
Okay.
We're closing in on time here.
All right. Both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table, but it shall not prosper, for the end will still be at the appointed time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and then read down through 29.
Through 29, okay. Or do you want me to start at 29?
Yeah, we'll just finish it up at 29.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. At the appointed time, he shall return and go toward the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter, for ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved and return in rage against the Holy Covenant and do damage.
Cool. Lots of fun things happening there. Mm-hmm. That will happen during the tribulation.
Yep.
Now, maybe just before, it depends on, I think where we're at. I got to remember where we're at. Anyway, it's at the end of the age. Mm-hmm. So the point here is the appointed times.
Right.
This is the same word, the Moedim. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we see in 27, they sat at the table and the end is still to come at the appointed time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then he says at the appointed time, he will return.
Yeah.
So they're at the table lying to each other because that's what they do. And there, it says there will be a time, an appointed time, a Moedim. So mm-hmm. we could see that in the stars. And I want to take this and finish the show with this. Daniel knew all of these signs. He talks about it here. He says it's written in the stars about Nebuchadnezzar is his name. So Daniel knew all these Matzaroth, okay? He knew all the explanation that the firmament does, mm-hmm. showing the glory of God, how the Redeemer is going to come. So he tells these people, most people think it's Zoroaster. Now, later on, Zoroaster, his followers got way off off base and went way out of line. But Zoroaster was a student of Daniel. This is how the history explains it anyway. Okay. And he explained to him, hey, these are the signs. This is how you interpret them. When you see this happen and this happen and this happen, short story, when you see the king wandering star, which is Jupiter, as we know it today, it will come into Virgo, the Virgin, do a retrograde and come out 9 months later. And then you see Leo follows him right up. That is the Virgin giving birth to the King of Kings, and he will come to rule and reign. That's the sign you're looking for when it happens this way, when the sun is at her head and the moon is at her feet. So he's describing all the signs in the skies. Now the Magi, 400 and change years later, saying, there it is. We saw the sign. The Messiah has come.
Yeah.
They bring all the wealth that Daniel had stored up all those years and said, we're going to bring this wealth to the King of Kings. They traveled 2 years through the desert, and then they say, okay, where is this king of the boy born the King of the Jews? And Herod's like, King of the Jews, I'm the King of the Jews.
Right.
Okay. So now you can fill that whole story of what we call the Magi. They got the story directly from Daniel because that's where they were from.
Yeah, makes sense.
Over in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they're like, now we know the king has come. The story played out in the skies. The time is right. Now let's go and bring all these gifts to the King of Kings.
Right.
That was all written in the stars, Joel.
Yeah. Wow. That's
the story of creation. It's powerful. Yeah. You know, we got this dumb, we three kings of Orient.
Yeah.
It wasn't three. It was a bunch of them. Matter of fact, the fourth one brought fruitcake and he was sent back.
Okay.
Like, well, all right, you're out.
Well, you know, again, a very, very good study this week. And this is something that we do on the midweek show every week, bring David on here, and we are going through the Bible slowly. We probably, I would bet that 99 point infinity of you have never been to a Bible study where it took 3 months to make it three or four verses into Genesis. We skipped down a little bit this time. And the reason we skipped down this time is simply because we're getting close to the conference there in Dallas, Texas. And David is one of the primary speakers there, one of the featured speakers at this conference. And so I know he wants you to hear him. I want to hear him. I'm stuck off in another room somewhere, but I'm going to figure out a way to listen to him and listen to all of them, really. But anyway, if you would, just go to register. Let me see here if I can get this up on screen real quick.
HearTheWatchmen.com.
Yeah, there you go. HearTheWatchmen.com, and that's men, M-E-N. So it's register at HearTheWatchmen.com. Use the promo code LastChristian altogether, no spaces, LastChristian, and you'll get a $10 discount off of the price, whether or not you're coming to the conference live or you're getting it live stream that you can keep forever and always. So anyway, we encourage that. Anyway, we will be back the final show of the week. Hopefully we get back into answering some viewer and listener questions and comments. They're adding up over there. If you guys notice, I haven't responded. There's a medical reason for that, but I'm not going to get into it. I'll just tell you that, yes, we will respond. I'm sorry that it's taking a little extra time, but we will answer you, I promise you. So join us in the next show and in every show. You can always go to www.lastchristian.net, www.lastchristian.net to see it all. And until next time, good night and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show, and be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.